God, would you turn with me to the book of Psalms, the book of praises to the Lord? I couldn't help but think as they were singing about God, about what a faithful God we have. That even though when we didn't care about Him, He came for us. He loved us. Oh, and it stirs my heart. It moves me that God would love a sinner like me. Lord, save me when I was a young boy. As a teenager, I didn't care about Him. I lost my way. And not necessarily on the outside, but on the inside. Wasn't right with the Lord. But He never gave up.
Yeah.
He loved me. He pursued me. Yeah. May I say this tonight? Nobody loves you like God. Nobody loves you like God. He deserves it. He deserves everything we got.
Yes, He does.
He deserves our life.
Yes, amen.
Would you look with me in the book of Psalms tonight? Psalm 99. Psalm 99. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to enter into the presence of a king? Maybe it would be the president of the United States or some other world leader. And as we enter into the presence of that king, we would understand there would be some rules. We wouldn't just strut into the present. We wouldn't just gloat into the presence of that king. No, there would be some rules. There would be some standards. As we would enter into the presence of that king, there would be some respect that would be had.
Yeah.
And as we come to this book of Psalms and Psalm chapter 9 or Psalm number 99 here tonight, we are coming into the presence of the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, our great God and Savior, yeah, Jesus Christ. And as we come to this psalm, some people have named the psalm the Holy, Holy, Holy Psalm. We see God high and lifted up on His rightful throne. We see God as who He is, the Holy One, the Holy God, exalted, high, and lifted up. And if you'll look with me in Psalm 99, verse number 1 tonight, the Bible says this: "The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the people. Let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Moses and Aaron among His priests, and Samuel among them that call upon His name, they called upon the Lord, and He answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept His testimonies and the ordinance that He gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though Thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy." Would you go to the Lord with me in prayer this evening? Dear Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege and an honor to come before Thy holy presence here tonight. We know it is not of any merit of our own. It is not of any doing of our own that we can come into Thy presence. But it is by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for sending Your Son. Thank You for loving us even though we strayed from You, even though we didn't even care about You. Thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus, for us. Thank You for the access that we have to You through the blood of Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, may You speak to each one of our hearts tonight. I pray for the lost here tonight. If there's someone under the sound of my voice who has never personally accepted You and taken You as their king of their life, they've never trusted in Jesus Christ to forgive their sin and be their Savior, may tonight be that glad night that they receive You. I pray for the Christian. Oh God, may You be on Your rightful throne in our hearts. May You have first place in all that is done in our lives. May You not be an afterthought in our actions or what we do, but may You be the forefront and forethought of our minds. May everything that we do be to please You, dear Father. May You speak to us. May You cleanse us, cleanse me of any sin. Make me right with You, dear God. And I pray that You would fill me with Thy Spirit. Help my mind to be centered on You tonight. Give me the words to say, and we'll give You the glory for all that is done. And all that You will do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The title of the message this evening is this: How does God's holiness affect us? How does God's holiness affect us? It is said of those in time past and of kings and queens that when you would enter into the presence of a king or a queen, that there was honor to be had for that king or queen.
Right.
That not just anybody could just step into the presence of that king.
Right.
In ancient Egypt, the commoners, they would rarely interact with the Pharaoh, and they considered him to be a god. And if any occasion arose that they were able to enter into his presence, they had to bow themselves down. They had to prostrate themselves down before him. And they couldn't have direct eye contact with the Pharaoh. In medieval Europe, a commoner may would approach a king in a public audience, but they could only be talked to when they were called upon, and they'd have to follow the court etiquette there, and they'd often have to bow or kneel in the presence of that king.
Right.
And as we come to this passage, we find God exalted upon his throne.
Yes.
We understand that God is not like us. He is not a human. He is not a sinful creature. He is above us.
Right.
He is high and lifted us up. In fact, he is the creator God. He made us. He gave us life. In him we move and live and have our being. It is only by him. For without him we are nothing. We can do nothing. And as we come to this passage here tonight, we find the Lord high and lifted up, exalted in his rightful place upon his throne. And we find, would you look in Psalm 99, we find what God does, what the Lord does. Would you look in verse 1? It says, he reigns. It says, he sits between the cherubims. Verse 2, the Lord is great. He is high. Verse 4, he loves judgment. He establishes equity. He executes judgment and righteousness. He is holy. Verse 8, it says that he forgives. He takes vengeance. Verse 7, he speaks unto them. He answers us in verse 6. Verse 9, it says, the Lord our God is holy. Now, would you notice what we are to do? It says in verse 1, we are to tremble. We are to be moved. Verse 3, we are to praise his great and terrible name. Verse 4, we understand that he executes judgment. Verse 5, we are to exalt the Lord our God. We are to worship him. Verse 6, we're to call upon him. Verse 7, we are to keep his testimonies. Verse 8, we find that he answers us. And verse 9, we understand that we are to exalt the Lord. So we find in these verses that we are nothing. That he is everything. Without God, we are nothing. We're just sinners. And God is everything. We find him holy, exalted, lifted up. We find his power. We find his strength. We find his omniscience. We find his all power here in these verses. And would you notice, first of all, here tonight, that God deserves honor? God deserves honor. Would you look in verse 1? It says this, let the people tremble. Let the people tremble. The Lord reigneth. And may I say here tonight that the Lord is king. Whether we like it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, the Lord is king of all the earth. Whether the president acknowledges it or not, and whether the rulers of this world acknowledge it or not, the Lord is king. And guess what? The Lord is king, whether you acknowledge it or not. And oh, may we have the Lord in his rightful place in our lives. May he be the king in each one of our lives. Oh, may he have the throne in each of our hearts. If there's someone here tonight who has never personally understood that they are a sinner before a holy God, that they deserve to be judged by that holy God, that the wages of sin is death, that we deserve an awful place called hell for all of eternity. We've chosen that. We're sinners. But Jesus Christ came to this earth. He bled and died for us on the cross of Calvary. He was buried and he rose again for you and for me. And you may say here tonight, God is not on the throne of your heart. You've never received him to be your personal Savior. May I encourage you here tonight Make God your king. Receive Him into your life. Trust Him as your personal Savior. Why? God deserves it. God deserves honor. And oh, Christian, maybe there's a Christian here today who would say, oh, God, I'm holding back from something from God. May I say this? God deserves honor. God deserves your heart. God deserves your all. Let the people tremble. Let the earth be moved. God deserves praise due to His holiness. Our pastor often used to say, Pastor Sexton, that everything begins with God. That is, the clearer our vision of God, the clearer else everything else in life will be. And nothing in our life can have its proper place unless God has His rightful place in our lives. I think oftentimes we want to play the game of Christianity. We want to look right on the outside when Christ does not have His throne on the inside. Oh, may we understand this. God deserves honor. God deserves to be the king in your life. The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. God deserves to be praised. Not just because of what He's done, but because of who He is. Oh, oftentimes as a Christian, I've been asked, oh, well, isn't it narcissistic for God to desire praise, to desire worship? That is, if one of us were to ask people to bow down to us, we would think we were crazy. But what we often lose sight of is this, that God deserves it. God is holy. He's without sin. He's without spot. He is the pure one. He is the Holy One of Israel, the Bible says. Oh, God deserves honor. He is the holy God. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. He has said, and shall He not do it? He has spoken, and shall He not make it good? Our God is not the lowly dust of the earth. He was not shapen in iniquity as we were. He is not like us. He is far above us. He is perfect, holy, without sin. The Bible says in 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. He is blameless, spotless, sinless. Revelation 5:11-12 says this, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. He is untouched in moral purity and splendor. He transcends our thoughts. He transcends the thoughts of human comprehension of what we can even imagine, of what we can even ask or even think. Charles Spurgeon said this, you can't measure God on man's chart at all. He is divine, and we are human. Another preacher said it this way, the immaculate purity of His nature was the reason why He should be exalted, praised, and worshipped. We must understand here tonight, the reason we must give our lives, our hearts to God is because He deserves it. No other man, no other person living on this earth deserves your life. Not your boss, not your friends, not the government. But may I say this here tonight, God deserves it. God deserves your life. God deserves your heart. He deserves your praise. He deserves to be honored. Oh, have you given Him His rightful place? Is the Lord King in your life? Our God is the greatest. He is the highest. But may we understand this, He is merciful. Even though He is the King, He reigns and He rules in righteousness and in mercy. He loves us. He loves you. And the Bible says in verse 1, it says, He sits between the cherubims. And these cherubims, they were angels, and they had their faces toward one another. They had their faces toward the mercy seat. And that was a picture of Jesus Christ. Every year, the priest would go in and they'd sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, and as a picture of the covering of sin, of what Jesus Christ would do. And we understand that God is seated on the mercy seat today. That when He looks at us, if we're saved, He looks at Jesus Christ and His precious blood that was shed for us. He doesn't see our sin. He sees Jesus' righteousness. And our God is King of all kings and Lord of all lords. But he sits between the cherubims.
Yes,
he rules in mercy. He withholds the judgment that we deserve. God's holiness is not just an aspect of his personality, but is the essence of his entire being. He deserves everything. He deserves our worship. The Bible says this, that he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation of our sins. And it was customary of the Jews of that day to say of someone who had converted to Judaism, he has taken refuge under the wings of Shekinah, under the mercy seat. Oh, and may we say this, when we've trusted Christ as our Savior, we are covered by his blood, and we have been hidden by the wings of Jesus Christ. We are under his mercy. The Bible says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. And God fulfilled his promise when he sent Jesus Christ on this earth. May I encourage you here tonight, God deserves honor. In verse 2, the Bible says, the Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all the people. And once we realize that he is king, that he is Lord, it should strike an action in our hearts to praise him. The whole word praise there, it means commendation bestowed on a person for his personal virtues, for who that person is or his worthy actions. And the Lord tells us this, let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Yeah. God deserves praise because of who he is. Because God is who he is, we ought to praise him. Yeah. We should praise him. Let them praise thy great and terrible name. A.W. Tozer said this, holy is the way God is. To be holy, he does not conform to a standard. He is that standard. He is absolute holy with an infinite, incomprehensible fullness of purity that is incapable of being any other than it is. Because he is holy, his attributes are holy. That is, whatever we think of as belonging to God must be thought of as holy. He is high and exalted and lifted up. He is not like us. He is the holy God of all gods and King of all kings. Is he king in your life tonight? He deserves honor. He deserves to be praised. He's the only person, he's the only one that ever deserves to be worshipped, that ever deserves our praise. Have you given it to him? Have you given your heart to him? Have you trusted him as your personal Savior and a Christian? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? God deserves it. Is he your king? Would you know, second of all here tonight, that God desires humility. God desires humility. In verse 4 it says, the king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. The king's strength also loveth judgment. This means that anything that God does, any action that he takes, will be done in righteousness. Any demonstration of his power, any act he does, will be righteous. It will be holy. He does not rule in selfish interests or unrighteous judgments. He does not decide one day to go on a rampage and unleash his power toward those whom he dislikes. Every decision God makes is right. Every judgment is perfect. Anytime God decides to exercise power and shows his authority, it is always in conjunction with his righteous judgment. And God does not have secret interests. He doesn't selfishly rule with power and make decisions in an evil and a sinister manner as we do. He is not a corrupt politician making laws for himself, for his depraved pursuits. He is the perfect judge. He rules and judges in all righteousness, and his power is shown in his absolute perfect decisions. The Bible says this in Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Romans 2, 5, and 6 says this, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." Oh, we must understand that God is a perfect God, and He desires humility in our lives. As for God, His way is perfect. Whatever God does in your life, whatever He allows into your life, is perfect. It's His perfect plan. And when we doubt God, we lose sight of the holiness of God. We lose sight of who God is. His ways are judgment. Everything He does is a God of truth. And without iniquity, just and right is He. He is the perfect, holy God. Spurgeon said this, "Men in these days are continually arranging the Lord's government, setting up the judge, whether he does right or not. But saintly men of olden time were of another mind. They were sure that what the Lord did was just. And instead of calling Him to account, they humbly submitted themselves to His will, rejoicing in the firm persuasion that with His whole omnipotence, God was pledged to promote righteousness and work justice among His creatures." We find the Bible says this in verse 5, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool, for He is holy." Exalt means to raise high, to elevate. How do we exalt God? We exalt God in our affection, in our meditations, in our supplications, in our conversations, in our profession, in our consecration, in our cooperation, in our expectation. John the Baptist said it the best, I believe, in John chapter 3, verse 30. It said this, "He must increase, but I must decrease." God deserves honor, but He desires humility in your life. He desires humility in my life. And when we come to the place that we understand God is worthy, He deserves honor, we will come to the place that He will begin to increase in our lives. We must exalt Him. We must lift Him up on a daily basis as we're out in the world. Are we exalting the Lord our God? Oftentimes in the church, I think we like to exalt ourselves. Look how great I am. Pastor, look how good I am. I helped here. I did that. Oh no, we are nothing without God. He deserves everything. He desires humility. James 4 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of God, and He shall lift you up." He must increase, but I must decrease. God desires humility. May we come to Him in a humble spirit, asking Him to lead us, asking Him to guide us, as He is sitting upon His rightful throne in our hearts. May we just desire humility, desire Christ to be lifted up, desire Christ to be magnified, because He's the only one who deserves it. Yeah. Would you notice, third of all, here tonight, that God demands holiness? Yeah. God demands holiness. Verse 9 says, in verses 6 through 8, we find God's holiness there. But in verse 9, it says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." Not only is God holy, but He desires, He demands holiness from us as His people. As I think about holiness in the Christian's life, I think about Moses. And when he was in the presence of God, would you turn with me to the book of Exodus? Exodus chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, in verse 1, we find the story of Moses and God's call upon Moses' life. The Bible says this in verse 1, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mount of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when he saw the Lord, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. In the presence of God, in God's holy presence, he demanded holiness. He demanded that Moses take off his shoes, that this was holy ground. And may we understand, if we have Christ in our lives, if we have God as our Savior, he desires something more for us. He desires a holy life. Yeah. He demands a holy life from you and from me. God did not just save us to live as we please, to live dead in our trespasses and sins, but to live a new life in Jesus Christ. He demands holiness, and his presence is holy. Isaiah 6:3 says this, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 says this, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy. What does that mean? Our holiness consists of our suitableness to God's nature and subjection to his will. Simply put, what does it mean to be holy? It means to be in subjection to the will of God. God's holiness is a call to our holiness. Someone said, herein is the saint's holiness. They love what he loves and hate what he hates. As a diamond is to a ring, so is holiness to the soul. Leviticus 11:45 says, for I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Ephesians 4:24 says this, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Revelation 15:4 says, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Fear God for his holiness. May we understand this, that God's power makes him holy, or makes him mighty, but his holiness makes him glorious. He deserves, he demands a holy life from you and from me. And may we, as God's people, may we as God's people have a desire to live a holy life. May we be in subjection to God's will. When God tells us to go, may we go. May we say yes to the Holy Spirit. May we not grieve him. Someone said this, but a holy life is made up of a multitude of small things. It is the little things of the hour, not the great things of the age, that make up a life like that of Paul and John, like that of Rutherford or Brainerd or Martin. Little words, not eloquent speeches or sermons. Little deeds, not miracles, nor battles, nor one great heroic act or mighty martyrdom, make up the true Christian life. The little constant beam, not the lightning, the waters of Siloa that go softly in their meek mission of refreshment, not the waters of the river great and many rushing down in torrent, noise and force, are the symbols of true holy life. The avoidance of little evils, little sins, little inconsistencies, little weaknesses, little follies, little indiscretions and imprudences, little foibles, little indulgences of self and of the flesh, little acts of indolence or indiscretion or slovenliness or cowardice, little equivocations or aberrations from the high integrity, little touches of shabbiness and meanness, little bits of covetousness and penuriness, little exhibitions of worldliness and gaiety, little indifferences to the feelings or wishes of others, little outbreaks of temper or crossness or selfish or vanity. The avoidance of such little things as these goes far to make up at least the negative beauty of a holy life. And then attention to the little duties of the day and hour in public transactions or private dealings, or family arrangements, to little words and looks and tones, little benevolences or forbearances or tendernesses, little self-denials and self-restraints and self-forgetfulnesses, little plans of quiet kindness and thoughtful consideration for others, to punctuality and method. and true aim and ordering of each day. These are the active developments of a holy life, the rich and divine mosaics of which it is composed. Oh, my friend, do you here tonight recognize the holiness of God? Do you recognize that God deserves honor? Because of who He is, He deserves to be exalted. He deserves to be praised. He deserves to be king in your life. Do you understand that God desires humility in your life? We are not all that. He is everything. We are nothing. Whatever He does is perfect. His ways are judgment. And may we understand, God demands from us a holy life. Be ye holy, for I am holy. This is how God's holiness should affect us. May we, as Bible believers and Christians, be in subjection to God's will. May we make it our goal of the Christian life to be like Jesus, to live for Jesus. May He have His rightful place and His throne in our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for who You are. Thank You for being the only one who is deserving of our praise, who is deserving of our all, who is deserving of our lives, who is deserving of everything that we could give. May we here tonight give our all for You. May we be in subjection to Thy will. I pray if there's someone under the sound of my voice here tonight who would say that they have never placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that the Lord is not king on their lives, that tonight would be the glad night that they receive You as their personal Savior, that they place their faith and trust in You to forgive and cleanse them of all their sins. Dear God, I pray for the Christian tonight. I ask if any of us in here are holding back something from You. We may have even given our lives to You. We may even be living for You, but we're holding back something. We're not giving our all. Dear God, may we understand You deserve it all. You deserve our lives. You deserve our worship. You deserve everything we have, everything we could give. I pray for the Christian here tonight that may have a sin or something in their life that needs to be cleaned out by Thee. I pray that they would confess it and forsake it here tonight, that they would turn it over for Thee. And I ask that each Christian in here tonight, and as we go out into the world this week, we would live a holy life. We would say yes to Thee. That as Your Spirit speaks to us and leads us, that we would say yes and be in subjection to Your will and live as Jesus lived. And we'll give You the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, stand with your heads bowed and your eyes.